Ken Burns' new series, Jazz, begins broadcasting January 8th on public television. Our jazz critic, Kevin Whitehead, says this 10-part, nearly 19-hour series is also a marketing juggernaut. You can buy the $200 DVD version, the $125 box set of videotapes, the $65 coffee table book, and 28 CDs worth of tie-in music. The TV series will be distributed to thousands of middle schools around the country and is likely to influence how people look at jazz for a long time to come. Kevin says, for all that, the series should be a lot better.
Ken Burns' jazz series contains a lot of what you'd expect. Little-known anecdotes and heartwarming stories, lots of zooms in and out on black-and-white photos, some eye-popping performance clips, and lots of stock footage of New York and the good old days. But overall, it's a mess. It doesn't swing. Sometimes, it barely moves. Burns needs 2 of 10 episodes just to get from 1935 to 39. Time even flows backwards occasionally. Burns has a maddening way of plunging back into the middle of some period just when you think he's finally done with it, inspiring a deadly feeling of déjà vu. That carelessness with chronology carries over into the narrative, where images and music from various decades are tossed together. Something he glosses over by not dating the clips we see. Burns and scriptwriter Jeffrey C. Ward are good at telling 4-minute anecdotes, which makes a series perfect for switching over to during commercials on another channel. But with the chronology all screwed up, one rarely gets a sense of how one style evolves into another or how the role of individual instruments has changed over time. Where Burns' Civil War series minded privates as well as generals, his jazz is the great man theory writ large. I never thought I'd complain about too much Duke Ellington or Louis Armstrong on American TV, but there's so much of them here, they squeeze other greats right out of history. Deep down, Ken Burns seems less interested in the sound of jazz than the flickering images and talking heads on screen. We get the old adage that a jazz solo should tell a story, but it's amazing how seldom we get to hear a whole piece or even solo without a voiceover. Burns says he wants to bring new fans to jazz, but the way to do that is to let folks listen to it. He doesn't trust the music to tell its own tale. The series hits rock bottom with the last episode, where Burns makes up for lost time by streaking through the last 40 years of a 100-year-old art form in under 2 hours. He lets a couple of people diss pianist Cecil Taylor for his difficult music, instead of inviting Taylor to sit at the piano and explain what's going on. But then, not once in 19 hours does anyone sit at a piano to illustrate anything. Plus, Burns interviews surprisingly few musicians, although series advisor Wynton Marsalis pops up every few minutes to vividly describe events that transpired before he was born. Burns also finds time for multiple visits with 2 swing-era dancers, a baseball player, actor Ossie Davis, and a publicist who tells us that God sent Louis Armstrong to Earth to make people happy. Such modernists as Sun Ra, Eric Dolphy, Carla Bley, Anthony Braxton, and Julius Hemphill aren't even mentioned. But hey, neither are Oscar Peterson, Buddy Rich, or Rahsaan Roland Kirk. The real story of jazz in the 80s and 90s isn't even hinted at. How equally passionate liberals and conservatives battled over whether the music should continue to evolve or revel in its glorious past. No matter which side you backed, it's a hell of a good story. The classic American saga. It's the Civil War. But Burns appears constrained from telling it, since the main attack dog on the conservative side was the same Wynton Marsalis who tells us throughout the series that jazz musicians work out their differences on the bandstand with mutual respect. It looks as if Burns shaves the truth to avoid undercutting his star witness. That makes for good lawyering, but bad history. In the course of the series, there is rare footage worth keeping an eye out for, like Clifford Brown performing on the Soupy Sales Show, and some intelligent observations by writers Gary Giddens and Gerald Early, and saxophonist Jackie McLean, among others. But you have to wade through some fatuous commentary to get to them. In the end, Ken Burns' 2001 spectacular resembles Stanley Kubrick's 2001. It's underpopulated, moves really slowly for a really long time, and at the end turns into this fast, crazy trip through a universe that barely resembles ours. The difference is, with Kubrick, it works.
Kevin Whitehead reviewed the new jazz documentary series by Ken Burns, premiering January 8th.